It's been 1 year since the Taliban swept through Afghanistan, taking control of the country amid the chaos of the American troop withdrawal. The militant group had promised to uphold the rights of women and girls, but they failed to deliver, instead issuing various orders curtailing women's rights, barring them from government jobs, secondary education, and restricting their freedom of movement. Former Afghan President Hamid Karzai says his country is still living with the fallout of the Taliban's power grab.
Millions of Afghans left the country and more are trying to leave the country. The exodus of a people from their own country, the educated, the professionals, the loss of the institutions, our girls not going to school, is one huge, huge shock to us.
That's former Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Fawzia Kufi is a leading women's rights activist. She was the first female deputy speaker of the Afghan parliament. Last August, she left Kabul on one of the last evacuation flights out of the country, and she joins me now from London. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
Death in slow motion is how some women in Afghanistan describe their lives these past 12 months. What is life like now for women and girls living in Afghanistan?
As someone who experienced life under Taliban in their first time when they were in power, and as someone who also experienced life under Taliban in their second round when I was under house arrest, I can absolutely agree with this term of death in slow motion. In fact, for many people in Afghanistan, it looks like a graveyard of people that can breathe. And only breathing is not the sign of life. It's they survive, but they don't live. Unfortunately, because we obviously see the violation of women's rights, we talk about it. But women's rights violation is not the only problem in Afghanistan. It's one of the major milestones and setbacks when it comes to the country, but Afghanistan is now suffering from enormous challenges, one of which is the growth of military extremism. But obviously, women's rights is a major setback in the country, as after 20 years of blood and treasure investment we all have had.
You have spent decades fighting for women's rights in Afghanistan, and you championed many key women's initiatives when you were in parliament. How difficult is it for you personally, given all of the personal work that you've invested, to witness those rights being curtailed like this?
I think it's right to put that it's also life dead in slow motion for us. It's for us who are not able to do anything but witness things that are going towards worse. And every day, things are going from bad to worse. In fact, if we reflect in 1 year of Taliban takeover, we see that, initially 1 or 2 months, they were not as tough and as suppressive and oppressive as they are now towards women. So that means that the trend of their oppressive measures against women have been growing up. It's going up. It's not even, they have not shown any level of flexibility. And on a personal level, it's emotional. It's devastating. It's as you there is a child. You take care of the child. You pamper it. You nourish it. The child is in the age of growing up and becoming a teenager, and all of a sudden, the child dies. With the child, all your hopes and your aspiration and your desire for a better Afghanistan where everybody is equally respected also dies. So for most of you people, for you guys, for media, for respected journalists like yourself or civil society or women rights activists or politicians, living in different parts of the world, it is a human rights crisis. For us, it's beyond that. For us, it's a matter of our country, our country's future, our political and social identity. We have a personal connection with every story that is happening. For instance, the protesters that were protesting the other day, some of which I personally know and with whom I have worked personally, you know, when I heard that there was a shooting and I called them, and the fear in their voice, the fact that they had to really like be in hiding for 2 days, the fact that phones were searched, that their pictures were, the videos in their phones were removed, that they were disrespected, that they, their dignity was, you know, lowered. I can only be with them in moral and feel that. So personally, it's emotional, it's disappointing, it's devastating for me to see that we're experiencing all of this in Afghanistan.
You began your political career in 2001 after the fall of the Taliban, and what you worked on is promoting the right of education for girls in your Back to School campaign. Now, girls aged over 11 are barred from attending school. The international community has made the education of girls a key demand for any future recognition of the Taliban administration. Do you expect the Taliban to change its stance on education for girls over 11?
The Taliban decision to ban girls beyond grade 6 in the secondary years does not have any religious, neither it has any social base. Their claim that, you know, some people, some communities are conservative, and that's why they want to respect those communities is baseless. Their claim that, you know, they want to see the girls segregated classes with boys is also baseless, because the schools in Afghanistan have always been segregated between, you know, male and female students. The fact that they think that they should have enough female teachers to teach girls and enough male teachers to only teach boys is not going to happen. If they don't allow girls to go to school, how could girls become teachers, female teachers? So I think it's a baseless claim that they are making. While I hope that the schools will open, because I think they are, on the contrary to the Islamic principles, they are banning girls from going to school. I think it's a political decision. I think they are weaponizing this decision to gain in return from international community when they announce schools are reopened. I think they want more international legitimacy for when they announce the schools to reopen. So I think they are actually playing with our girls and their future and the future of Afghanistan. I mean, I, as someone who have been the first female in our family to go to school, because my father also was a member of parliament, he established many female schools in our area, but he never allowed my elder sisters to go to school. So I was basically the first girl from our family after my father was killed as a member of parliament in a peace mission that I went to school. So I understand the value of education and how it impacted my own personal life. And I think it's not even about girls being educated to get a job or to have a future. It's about the country and a community society, a community's empowerment. So if by educating a girl, you're not only educating a girl, but you're educating a society. And I'm a life example, because in my own area, when I was educated and I became member of parliament, you know, a lot of changes happened, and like me, with many other women who had the chance to be educated. So I think it's about our country's future prosperity and security, and it's beyond just girls' education. And I think the Taliban must not, you know, continue to impose a very baseless decision, which have consequences, social, political consequences for our country and for girls in our country.
Fawzia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Fawzia Koofi is a leading women's rights activist. She was the first female in the Afghan parliament to be elected as second deputy speaker.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.